Vasudevaya.
From the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Text 48. Viryavarya Pita Prithya
Sama
Sanjeeva Shashpati Yasyedrishyat Sute Bhakti Savalokaikabhatari Viryavarya Pita Prithya Sama Sanjeeva Shashvati Yasya Drishyat Chute Bhakti Sarvalokaikabhatari Viryavarya Pita Prithya Sama Sanjeeva Shashvati Yasti Drishyat Chute Bhakti Sarvalokaikabhatari Word for word. Viravarya. The best of the warriors.
The best of the warriors.
Pita.
Pita.
The father.
The father. Prithya.
Of the globe.
Of the globe.
Sama.
Sama.
Equal to in years.
Equal to in years.
Sanjeeva.
Sanjeeva.
Live.
Live.
Shashvati.
Shashvati.
Forever.
Forever.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Whose.
Whose.
Kidvishi.
Kidvishi.
Like this.
Like this.
Achyuta.
Achyuta.
Achyute.
Achyute.
Under the Supreme.
Under the Supreme.
Bhakti.
Bhakti.
Devotion.
Devotion.
Sarva.
Sarva.
All.
All.
Loka.
Loka.
Planets.
Planets.
Eka.
Eka.
One.
One.
Bhattari.
Bhattari.
Maintainer.
Maintainer.
Translation. All the saintly brahmanas thus addressed Prithu Maharaj. O best of the warriors, O father of this globe, may you be blessed with a long life, for you have great devotion to the infallible, supreme personality of Godhead, who is the master of all the universe. Translation, please read. All the saintly brahmanas thus addressed Prithu Maharaj.
All the saintly brahmanas thus addressed Prithu Maharaj.
O best of the warriors.
O best of the warriors.
O father of this globe.
O father of this globe.
May you be blessed with a long life.
May you be blessed with a long life.
For you have great devotion.
For you have great devotion.
The infallible supreme personality of Godhead.
To the infallible supreme personality of Godhead.
Who is the master of all the universe.
Who is the master of all the universe.
Purport. Prithu Maharaj was blessed by the saintly persons present at the meeting to have a long life because his unflinching faith and his devotion to the supreme personality of Godhead. Although one's duration of life is limited in years, if by chance one becomes a devotee, he surpasses the duration prescribed for his life. Indeed, sometimes yogis die according to their wish, not according to the laws of material nature. Another feature of a devotee is that he lives forever because of his infallible devotion to the Lord. It is said, Kirti yasya sajivati. One who leaves a good reputation behind him lives forever. Specifically, one who is reputed as a devotee of the Lord undoubtedly lives forever. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking with Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, "What is the greatest reputation?" Ramananda Rai replied that a person who is reputed as a great devotee has the greatest reputation, for a devotee not only lives forever in the Vaikuntha planets, but by his reputation, he also lives forever within this material world. Viravarya pita prithya sama sanjeeva sashvati yasya drishyakyute bhakti savalokayaka bhakti. All the saintly brahmanas thus addressed Prithu Maharaj, O best of the warriors, O father of this globe, may you be blessed with a long life for your great devotion to the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of all the universe. The Prithu Maharaj, a very exalted Shakti Vaishyavata incarnation, empowered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. But he has come in the role of the king, and the king is dressed here as Viravarya, the best of the warriors, and Pita, the father. So the king is considered like a father. We have our real father. We have different, just like it is said, we have different different categories of mother. The real mother, the wife of the guru is considered mother, the wife of the king is also considered mother, the wife of the brahmin is considered mother, the cow is considered mother, the nurse is considered mother. All these things are looking after, all these personalities are looking after us. Just like a mother looks after the child, actually all these mothers are looking after us. And we were reading, I was just in Sydney Temple yesterday, and we were reading from the Bhagavatam how when Krishna came back to Dwarka after being in Hastinapur after the battle of Kurukshetra, he spent some time with Yudhisthira Maharaj and the Pandavas and the whole family, and they requested him to stay. He was going to go immediately back after the battle of Kurukshetra, but they requested him to stay a little bit longer because it was a difficult period, so many had died. But Krishna had stayed there, and then he was coming back to Dwarka, and he was received very nicely. Then he came into the palace of his father Vasudeva. Vasudeva had 18 wives. 18 wives. In the ancient times, especially the kings who would have more than one wife, they would look after them very nicely. Each one of the wives, practically, of Vasudeva. We know that Krishna had so many wives. And Krishna can have unlimited wives, but each wife had a palace. I remember years ago visiting Brunei, and the Sultan of Brunei, who was for some time, for many years, the richest man in the world. He was the richest because all the oil was there. Now, in the last few decades, he's been surpassed by others, but for a long time. Now, he's got three wives. He's got three wives, isn't he? Islam, something the men are allowed to marry more than one wife. But he had the three wives, and each one of the wives had their own palace. And I saw one of the palaces, actually is a palace. So each of the wives had a palace. But Krishna, he had when he was present, he had 16,108 wives, and each one of them had their own palace. And not only that, now, if Krishna had 16,108 wives, I worked out once many years ago that if there was one Krishna for all these wives, then he would visit one wife on one day, and then by the time he visited all the others and came back to this first wife, it would be 45 years would have gone. I remember doing the calculation of 352 days into 16,108 wives, and then it was like 45 years. So the wives wouldn't be very happy. They'd see their husband one day in 45 years. But Krishna, he solved this difficulty by expanding himself into so many Krishnas. Now, when he visited his father, of course, and I'll come back to this point, he has to pay respect to his father. He is the supreme father of all, but he plays the role in this world to show the example that you have to give respect to the elders. This is the vana and ashrama system, that the elders, who are respectable persons, have to be given respect. And so first of all, before going home to his queens, first of all he visited his father. And he visited his father to give and show the respect, and then he visited, now in that section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he visited all his mothers. Now Devaki was his real mother, but the father had many wives, and all of them were considered mothers. And all of them together were very affectionate to Krishna, and they saw Krishna as their son, although Devaki was the real mother of Krishna. So Krishna treated them all equally as his mothers. This is, Prabhupada emphasized this point. Prabhupada emphasized that Krishna treated them all equally. This is not easy thing in the material world to treat others equally. Samoham Sadhubhuta. Krishna says, I envy no one and I am not partial to anyone. Now, to be not partial to anyone, you can't have envy. So in this Samoham Sadhubhuta and Amit Veshoshtina Priya, in this verse from the Gita, Krishna prefaces, I am impartial to no one with, I envy no one. Because if you envy, you cannot be impartial. You will always be the partial. You'll favour one over the other because you have some envy. But Krishna is not envious, so therefore he is not partial. So therefore he saw all of them as his mothers. And all of them were very, very affectionate to Krishna as their son. This is a different, you may remember the story of Maharaj Chitraketu, where he didn't have any children, and then he married one wife after the other to get the children, but still, after marrying so many, he still didn't have the children. Finally, Narad Muni came, I think Pavada Muni came, and they gave him the blessing, and he was able to have the child. But then the other queens became very jealous of the one queen that had the child. They thought that now the king is paying more attention to her, we're like a nothing, she has the child, we don't have any. So they were so envious, they conspired together to kill the baby. To poison the baby. And they did. They poisoned the baby. Out of the jealousy, out of the envy. So we have instances in the history, and of course we see all over, how people due to envy can commit the most heinous activity. But Krishna showed respect, and the mothers were there, and they also had affection. Now Krishna went then to visit his queens, and we see that one Krishna was going into one palace, but imperceivably, he went into all the palaces. In other words, he expanded himself into all the palaces simultaneously. And no one could perceive it. Krishna just did that. One Krishna was seen going into one palace, and unseen by everyone, actually Krishna was going into all the palaces. This is inconceivable Krishna. How he can do these things, we don't know how he is doing this. But actually it is mentioned, although Krishna had eight principal wives, you know, starting with Rukmini and Satyabhama and Satya and Mitravindra and so on, Lakshmana, Bandra, and so on. They were eight principal, and he married them in different ways. When he went to a fight with this Narakasura, there were 16,100 princesses that he kidnapped. And so after he killed this Narakasura, they presented their case, and now, please save us. We've been taken by this asura and been imprisoned by him, and even if we go back home, no one will accept us. So please, you marry us. You marry us. So Krishna accepted this proposal by all the princesses. He married all of them. He had them dressed very nicely, bathed and dressed very nicely. He put them on a palanquin, and they each one had their own chariot, and he took them all back to Dwarka. So the acharyas explained that Krishna was doing like that because they pleaded with him to accept them as his wives. But the acharyas explained also Krishna wanted to do something very uncommon, something very wonderful, to show in the future that those viewing his activities would see that he is not a common person. He is a very extraordinary personality. Even in these situations, he is able to marry 16,100. And each one of the wives, he had so many children with him. One man has enough trouble in the one family. And actually, it is said in the Kali Yuga, as the Kali Yuga progresses, if one man can keep one family together with the children looking after everything, that'll be a great feat. That'll be a great accomplishment. It'll become more and more difficult to keep family together, to look after the children, everything. So this is the position. But Krishna, no problem. And Prabhupada actually mentions there that Krishna could, he had 16,108 wives. He could have had unlimited. And of course in the spiritual world, he has unlimited wives and he is with Radharani and so many gopis and so on and so forth. So he is unlimited and his enjoyment is unlimited. The facilities for his enjoyment is also unlimited. His desire for enjoyment is unlimited. This was another point the Acharyas made. Krishna's desire for enjoyment is unlimited. But the facilities for his enjoyment is also unlimited. Understand? But for the ordinary person, we may have seemingly unlimited desires, but our ability to enjoy is limited. Sometimes we would, we would have a saying before I was a devotee. Someone has champagne taste on a beer budget. Saying before, you've got champagne taste, but your budget is beer. So someone may have desire to enjoy, but can they have the facility to enjoy? Unfortunately, in the material world is like that. We may have desire, but Krishna has unlimited desire. But the difference is, he has unlimited facility. As his desire for enjoyment increases, the facility for that enjoyment also increases. Unlimited. This is the wonder of Krishna. So Krishna is, now he has, and he's giving his blessings. Now here, in this particular verse, the brahmanas are giving the blessings to Prithumara. This blessings is a very wonderful thing. Prabhupada, when he was writing letters to his disciples, would always start, please accept my blessings. Dear such and such, please accept my blessings. What is the blessing? The blessings is something that is very auspicious. Krishna gives the blessings to all, especially for the spiritual advancement. Of course, Krishna can give the blessings for anything, material, everything he can give. But he especially is enthusiastic to give the spiritual blessings. Sometimes Krishna accepts the blessings. There's one funny story about Krishna had a Brahmana friend called Madhu Mangala. So when they were young boys, they would go for the picnic. They would go looking after the young boys would look after the calves, and the cowherd men would look after the cows, and they would go out and they would bring the cows and the calves to the different pasturing areas. And then they would stop during the lunchtime, have picnic. So Madhu Mangala, he was very fond of eating, especially laddus. He liked laddus. And he would eat so many laddus. And there were some laddus, but he would eat the most of the laddus. And practically there was no laddus left. You like the laddus? So then he said to Krishna, if you give me some more laddus, I will give you the blessings that your friend Srimati Radharani will be very pleased with you. So Krishna, you know, of course Madhu Mangala was the Brahmana. Brahmanas give the blessing. And Krishna was presenting himself as the Vaishya, so he accepted the blessings. And Krishna was very pleased to accept this blessing, so that Radharani was going to be pleased. So then he gave Madhu Mangala more and more laddus. He said, all right, I will give you more and more laddus, you give me more and more blessing, that Radharani will be pleased. So this is the blessings, especially Radharani's pleasure, that is spiritual thing. That is spiritual thing. Blessings should be spiritual. There's one story that Prabhupada tells of the sadhu who was going. He was seeing the different persons. And he saw one prince. He saw the prince. He observed him for some time. He was a prince from the royal family. He had fabulous wealth. And he was enjoying every day and going here a little bit irresponsibly. So then the prince came and he met with the sadhu and give me your blessings. And the sadhu said, yes, I give you the blessings. May you live forever. Then the sadhu met another person, and this person was brahmachari. The brahmachari was practicing tapasya under the guidance of the guru. He was doing the pious activities, studying all these things. And the sadhu said, I want to give you the blessings. I want to give you the blessings. May you die immediately. Then he met a devotee. And so he saw the devotee, he was observing the devotee. Then he said, I want to give the blessings. It doesn't matter if you live or you die, it doesn't matter. That is my blessings. Then he met one butcher. He was the butcher of the animals. So then he said, the butcher wanted blessings. He said, I will give you the blessings. May you not live, may you not die. But then Prabhupada explains this story. He said, the prince, from his previous dharma, the pious activity, got all the good things in this life. And he's using them, but a little bit irresponsibly, so they're going to dry up. And then when it's all finished, then who knows what his position is in the next life. He may have to get some reaction for some irresponsible activity. So therefore, the sadhus are better you live forever, because we don't know in the next life what your position is. So the brahmachari practicing the tapasya, he was doing the austerity, he was in good situation. You know, and then he said, better die now, because you're in such good conscience of following the guru, doing all the tapasya, doing all the ritualistic yajna, all these things. Better die now, because your future is very bright. In the next life you'll go. And then he said, so for the devotee is engaging in devotional service, and the next life he'll be engaging in devotional service. It doesn't matter where he lives or dies. Same thing. He'll be doing the devotional service, the next life he'll be doing the devotional service. And the butcher, his life is the hell. He's killing the animal, he's butchering the animal, and in the next life, he'll have to be butchered also. So this life is the hell, and the next life will be even more the hell. And so the sadhu said, don't live, don't die. So the blessings, actually, the best thing is for the spiritual advancement. You know, I think I've told the story one time before. Hari Suri was telling me this story. He was traveling with Prabhupada. And they were traveling in the train, and Prabhupada had a compartment. He was filling, Prabhupada was a little ill. So Hari Suri, being the servant, he was looking after him. There were other devotees and disciples there also. But because he was a little ill, he didn't want to allow anyone to come into the compartment, the train compartment. Although, you know, in India, of course, when someone sees the sadhu, they want to touch his feet and get the blessing. But Hari Suri didn't want to allow anyone. Generally, wherever Prabhupada went, everyone would want to come like that. So he didn't want to allow. But there were three young men who were looking, and they wanted to come in. But Hari Suri was very careful just to keep the door locked. He didn't want them to come in, disturb property. He was a little bit ill. So then Hari Suri had to go out just momentarily to get something. And then when he came back, the three men were inside. and they were talking to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was talking. Each one of the men was saying to Prabhupada, please give us the blessing as a Guruji. And Prabhupada said, what type of blessings you want? And one man said, that my business is not doing so good. Give me the blessing, my business will do very good. Another one said, oh, my health, I've got a knee problem, I've got a arthritis problem, I've got so many. Give me blessings, my health will be good. And the other one said, oh, my children in the school, not doing so good in the school. Give the blessing, my children will do good in the school. So Prabhupada, he sat silently for a moment. He said, I am not Ashi Baba Baba. I am not the professional blessings giver. He said, this is not the type of blessing you should ask the sadhu. When you come to the sadhu, you have to ask for the spiritual blessing. Don't ask for the material things. Said, you want help with the business, you go to the professional consultant, he will help you. You want help with the health, you go to the doctor. If you are the children, you go to the teacher, get the special. And when you come to the guru, you have to ask for what is the spiritual advancement. These things. So that reminds me of another story. There was one devotee, his name was Bhakti San. And he was a devotee he lived in the Srirangam area in the South India. Srirangam. He lived nearby the Srirangam temple. And he was very devoted. He was always chanting the Lord's name, always trying to do some seva, but he kept himself very poor, very detached. He didn't have any house or any. He was not in the family, just by himself. He was elderly. And even for the clothes, he didn't care whatever was around. If someone just threw the clothes, he took the clothes. If the clothes were torn, he used to just sit and with a needle and thread, just mend the torn cloth like that, and he would just wear that thing. So one time, Lord Shiva and Parvati were flying over here in their Pushpa Viman. And then they went over their head. This man, he was Bhakti Sai, was sitting, just sewing. So they went over and their shadow went on him. So normally, if the shadow of Lord Shiva, Parvati, goes on anyone, this is very auspicious. Very auspicious. But then when Bhakti Sai saw the shadow, he looked up, he moved out. So Parvati said to Lord Shiva, "This is a very strange fellow. Normally, everyone is hankering to get our blessings, to get even our shadow is very auspicious. But this one moving out, let's go down. I want to see this one." What is his reason? And so they got out, and Parvati said, "You go, and you offer him, we tell him we're very pleased with him, and you offer him all opulence. We can see that he's very poor. You offer him all the opulence." And Lord Shiva said, "No, he's a devotee. He's not interested in those things." No, go. And so Lord Shiva went, "I'm very happy with you. I see you're a great devotee. You're very poor. We want to do something for you. Please accept all opulences. You live very nicely." So he didn't even reply. Bhakti Sai didn't even move. So then Lord Shiva went back and said, offer him the svaga. He can go to the svaga. You offer him one. Go. But Lord Shiva was a little reluctant. So he went and he offered him, "Please, we are offering you blessings. Please take our blessings. It will be our honor. We offer you, you can go to the svaga. Why you have to live here, such a suffering way? You can go to the svaga, Lord, and enjoy the life." So he didn't reply. He just looked. And he said, "Can you give the mukti?" And Lord Shiva's very famous statement of Lord Shiva, he said, "Oh, mukti. Mukti," he said, "mukti." He said, "Mukti fadar sahab vishan vishnu even a shamshad." It's a very famous statement. This Bhakti Sai was very later on went on to be one of the great alvas of South India. But mukti fadar sahab vishan vishnu, he said, "That mukti, that you have to go to Vishnu." We can give all things, but the mukti from the world, that's Vishnu's domain. So then Bhakti Sai said, "Then what is the use of all your blessings? You can't give that. What is the use?" So then Lord Shiva Parvati came over. She was just testing him. Said, "We are very pleased with you. I wanted to test you, and I see that you are genuine. You are genuine. Sometimes people present themselves, they're not very genuine." And Prabhupada told the story of one yogi who was living near the Ganga, outside of Calcutta, and he was practicing the tapasya, very austere, very gaunt, and many people would go to get the blessings, and they would give him many offerings. But he was very staunch. Someone would offer him something, he said, "I don't want that. Just offer to the Ganga. Offer there to the Ganga. No, we want to give to you. No, just offer the Ganga that thing." So then they would throw that offering to the Ganga. So each one was like that. They'd come in, "No, I'm not taking it. Offer to the Ganga. Yes, throw it there." So then some people were a little suspicious of this fellow. So they were just waiting, and then they waited in the night. They were just observing him. So then in the night time, late in the night, when everyone was gone, they saw that fellow with the light go to that area of the Ganga, and then he was pulling on something. So then they observed close, and he was pulling, he had a net, he was catching all those things that they were throwing in the Ganga. He had one net there. So then at night time when no one was around, he'd pull all those offerings and then he'd go home with all this. So he was presenting himself very renowned. The Prabhupada tells the story of Falgu Bhairagi, false. But Parvati wanted to test Bhakti Sai, and so they were very pleased. "We bless you that you remain strong in your devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is true blessings. And so here we see that the Brahmanas are a blessing preacher. First of all, they address him as Virabharya, the best of the warriors. The king. The kings in the past, of course, were great warriors. And they were the first on the front lines. If there was any attack, they were the first ones there leading their armies to defend the kingdom. So all the kings in the past, especially, had to be a very powerful warrior. So he's addressed as Virabharya. He's also addressed as the Pita, the father. He's the father of the globe. He was the emperor. And why the father? Because the father provides. He provides all the needs. And especially he provides a spiritual guidance. The king should give that spiritual guidance. So in this way also, so the king, he is providing all the citizens with their necessities. And he is arranging for so many yajnas to please the Supreme Personality of God. And this actually is the way to provide the necessities. Because ultimately, it is the Supreme Personality of God that is providing all the necessities. Even the devas, they are giving, but they are giving only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nothing is actually the devas, although they may be in charge of the different elements and so on and so forth. And nothing actually belongs to them, but that is all created by the Supreme Lord. So it's actually Krishna who is giving, and he has his agents give on his behalf also. So it is actually Krishna who is the Supreme Father, but the king is his representative. So the leaders should see themselves in that way, as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like it's coming up in a few days, Ram Navami, the anniversary of the appearance of Lord Ram. So Ram, the when Ram was the king, all the necessities, he was so ideal. He even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he was doing so many yajnas. Spiritual activities were very much encouraged. And so in this way, the welfare of the citizens, both spiritually and materially, was well looked after. So in this way, they're like a father. So they'd be treated like the father. So many different types of father. The real father, as I said. The king is the father. The guru is like a father. Of course, the Supreme Personality of God is the father. The bull is the father. He provides, but, you know, churning, working in the fields and the grains and everything. So the bull is so many different types of, just like I said, so many different types of mothers, so many different types of fathers. The king is considered like a father. The king is the father. He's very munificent, magnanimous. Every day people would go and ask to get charity from the king. So the king, if he was a good king, he would give in charity. But moreover, he would see to their spiritual well-being. So here, may you be blessed with a long life, for you have great devotion to the infallible Supreme Personality of God, who is the master of all the universe. So long life, they're wishing him long life. Why? Because he is a great devotee. They're not wishing him long life so he can enjoy unrestrictedly sense gratification in the material world. That was not the reason they're giving the blessing. Just like Prabhupada said to those men who came on the train. I said, don't ask these blessings. Ask the spiritual blessings. This is the real blessings. Other things there are come and go. They come and go. But the real blessings are spiritual. So they're giving the blessings to King Prithu because he has got faith in the Supreme Lord. May you live a long time because you are the king, and because you have so much devotion, you will also make sure that the spiritual activities, that the devotion to the infallible Supreme Personality of God is the center of everyone's life. So this is so to make Krishna the center is very, very important. Samoham Savabhute. Krishna says, I'm not partial to anyone. Now how one can be like that in the previous verses in that chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Yat Karoshi, Yashnashi, Yat Jahoshi, Nirvashi. Prabhupada explains that this is the way to be impartial. You do everything for Krishna. Whatever you eat, whatever you give away, whatever charity, you do it for Krishna. Krishna in the center. Then you'll become non-envious and you become impartial. then you are able to look after everyone so nicely. And so, this is why they offered him the blessings in this way. So, Prabhupada says that generally, one's duration of life is limited, when as soon as one's born, one will die at a certain point. That is all fixed up. But it can be changed in rare circumstances, just like the Brahmanas can give the blessings, and if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased also by those blessings, then he can adjust the situation. He can adjust. You may have been destined to die at a certain time, but Krishna can do anything. He can change everything. And Prabhupada actually mentions that here. If one becomes a devotee, he surpasses the duration prescribed for his life. So maybe Krishna will increase by so many years. And Prabhupada actually mentioned to us that he said, actually, I was meant to leave this world a little bit before. But Krishna extended, because I was praying to him to be able to do some more work. But now he has finally said that, now you can come. So I was praying for a few extra years. He said, my time was already there. So it is up to Krishna. Krishna may agree or may not agree. But anything is possible under Krishna. I remember one time I was in Trivandrum, and we went to there. They don't allow foreigners into that Padmanabha Swami temple, but because we're with ISKCON and we have good relationship with the pandas there, when we go with the temple devotees, we're foreigners are allowed to go inside. So we went inside, and they took us right in the sanctuary, right in the deity room. I couldn't believe it. Oh, beautiful lying in that Padmanabha Swami with that, lying on Ananta Sesha's made of all the Shalagram Sheelas. Amazing, a very opulent lord. Very big, you go in the deity room, very big. We were able to go inside there. And so when we came out, we met one Brahmana. He was talking with us. And then he said, I am the astrologer for the king. And also all the pandas here, I do all their calculations and what is their situation and everything like that. And I said, I was just joking with him. I said, maybe you can do my chart. Or tell me what is the situation. He said, no, with the other devotee asked before, and the sannyasi, the guru especially, he said that, I never do, because it's up to Krishna. I can say something, but Krishna can change it like that. So then my reputation will be ruined. He said, I am very well known, good reputation, but if the devotee comes, I say, no, I cannot do that. Because if something doesn't happen according to my calculation, then I'm ruined. So the reputation is very, very important. Reputation, now especially for Kshatriyas, especially for kings, they would need good reputation. No one likes to have bad reputation. It's very, what is that? One who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. That Krishna tells Arjuna. For one who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So especially the leaders, the kings, their reputation, not that they were attached to reputation if they were good kings, if they were sadhu kings, but they needed that reputation in order to govern properly, in order to get the respect needed to govern the situation. So reputation. And here Prabhupada makes a point that he gives the example. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking to Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, what is the greatest reputation? Ramananda Roy replied that a person who is reputed as a great devotee has the greatest reputation, for a devotee not only lives forever in Vaikuntha, but by his reputation he also lives forever within this world. So that is the case. Just like we're reading the different stories about different devotees, sometimes from millions of years ago. But their activities, their character, their qualities, is still we're reading about those things. So what type of reputation, what type of fame is that for the devotee? And Krishna and Lord Ram, therefore he has unlimited fame, unlimited opulence, unlimited knowledge. Still, after millions of years, everyone knows about that thing. So someone who's a devotee, of course, they are going to the spiritual world after leaving this world. But even in this world, their reputation, and even when they leave, their reputation will be there. One who leaves a good reputation behind him lives forever, here Prabhupada says. He lives forever because of his infallible devotion to the Lord. This is what is mentioned here by Prabhupada. Practically, it is up to Krishna. And sometimes Krishna gives the benediction that it is up to the devotee when he wants to leave. Or even sometimes great personalities give benediction. You can choose the time of your leaving this, just like Bhishma. Bhishma got the benediction from his father, Mahashantanu. Because Bhishma, of course, he was known as Devavrata. He found that his father was married to Ganga, and she left, of course. And then his father wanted to get married again. And he wanted to marry one lady by the name Satyavati. But the father of Satyavati said that, all right, you can marry, but only her son will be the king. So Mahashantanu said, oh, I've already, you know, here's the Yuvaraj, my Bhima, here's the Yuvaraj. I cannot. So, but then he was very much wanting to marry Satyavati. So he was a little, when he went back to the palace, he was not his usual self. He was a little bit down. So Bhishma, he could see that. He inquired from him, and he didn't say what the reason was. And so he just asked, and then he found out that actually he wanted to marry, but the father had made that condition. So he went to the father of Satyavati. He said, all right, I give my word that her son will be the king. So the father said that, well, that's all right, but you know, what if your children, they make the claim to the throne? And that's at that time that Devavrata said that, I take the vow to say, I won't get married, I won't have any children. He took that vow. And then he went back to his father, he told him that the situation, I've done like that, and I won't go back on that now, I've taken the vow. So Mahashantanu was so indebted and obliged and grateful to his son, he gave him the benediction. He said, because you have sacrificed for me, I give you with what power and kriti I have, I give you the blessing that you can choose when you will leave this world. You don't have to leave in the ordinary way as others. You can leave at the time of your own choosing. But this was the case with Bhishma. We know in the battle of Kurukshetra he was like an invincible person. No one could kill him. Only when he wished, even when Arjuna's arrows went in him, he still was not killed. He was lying on the bed of the arrows, and he was just lying there. Even after the battle of Kurukshetra, he was just lying there. He was waiting for the sun to go in the north. So he chose the time he wanted to go. And Krishna glorified him by bringing Yudhisthira to him to hear what is the duties of the king. So there are many instances like that where, you know, someone has been blessed to choose the time of his leaving the world. Normal people, hey, what choice do we have? When the time is up, the time is up. The time is up. So someone was telling me that, her husband, now they were in some place, they were doing some tourist thing, and they were on the tower, and they were looking through one of those, you know, like telescopes, you know, you can see all around the area. And so the husband was looking through the telescope, and then he was very excited. Oh, you have to see, you have to see. And so the wife came looking through, and then she was looking around, she heard a thud, her husband had a heart attack, he died just like that. But then in a second, just like that. So at any time, and what choice do we have? But someone who's devoting, that is up to Krishna. Of course, everything's up to Krishna. But if Krishna wants, he can do anything. He can make it longer life in this world, or he can take you more early, as he desires. But certainly the reputation is forever. Certainly blessings will be there for spiritual advancement. That is the very most important thing, and this is what the Brahmanas gave their blessings to Prita Maharaj, may you be blessed with a long life of your great devotion to the infallible Supreme Personality of God, who is the master of all the universe. Does anyone have any question? I'll read this again. All the saintly Brahmins thus addressed Prita Maharaj, O best of the warriors, O father of the globe, may you be blessed with a long life for your great devotion to the infallible Supreme Personality of God, who is the master of all the universe. Any questions or comments?
Said that Krishna had given
him
a choice.
Sorry, said what?
At the end of Srila Prabhupada's stay here, he said that Krishna had given him a choice whether to stay or to go.
Yeah, I think it's but I mean, my point was that he was meant to go. Stay or to go. But ultimately, I have to think through that whole sequence there. Ultimately, Prabhupada left it in Krishna's hands. That's what I remember. But Prabhupada did ask to stay a little bit longer so he could do some more preaching work, and Krishna extended. I think even at one point, I seem to remember that he said, perhaps I was meant to die even going on the boat. When he went on the boat, he had those heart attacks. He said, and then I had the dream, and Krishna came in the boat, he was rowing, and all the incarnations were there. You know that story. So many different times in Prabhupada's life that perhaps he was meant to go, but maybe Krishna made some adjustment. Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, is there any symptoms is there that when a person going to die, sometimes people say there is a symptom that is going to die. Normal, like any symptoms is there spiritually?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but generally, you know, there are symptoms when someone's going to die. If you're not feeling well, you go. Symptoms, and the doctor may tell you you're going to die. Because these are the symptoms. But certainly, I don't know, what is that? What is the nature? Is that what did you mean to ask?
No, that is, I'm asking about this, any scriptures or Purana. Has there anything said about that, just when a person dies, some symptoms is there, or how a person can understand it when he is going to die?
Well, I mean, you know, as far as on the material side of things, there are so many indications of how the body is becoming older. And Prabhupada actually says, in general, old age is the precursor symptom of death. So old age means death is coming. And there'll be other symptoms and so on and so forth. But sometimes, you know, the devotee gets some indication that from the Supreme Personality of Godhead that his life is coming to an end and so on and so forth. Krishna may directly, and just like Parikshit Maharaj got the indication he was bitten by the, he's got 7 days. So he took it like that as a sign from the Supreme Lord that he was going to live only 7 more days. But certainly on the material side, there's so many symptoms can be there, medically, and also in the Shastras, as mentioned. You read the story of King Puranjana, you know, how, what are the symptoms of the death in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally, old age would be definitely a symptom and the sign of the death is coming. The old age is there. All right, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai.